We're doing Yeshayah. We're up to what's called the 32nd chapter, the 7th Pasuk. And the Navi had been describing a time where things would be better. And people will no longer practice sycophancy. People will be honest. They'll be straight. They won't try to sweet talk people. The Navi had said in Pasuk, Hey, lo ikare od lenavan nadiv. People won't call the person who is wicked a philanthropist. Oh, you're so nice, you're so giving, when really the guy is not. The Navi described the chonef, the sycophancy that was going on. Our sages say one of the groups that do not merit to see the Shechina is kat chanefim, those that are sycophants. They're always sweet-talking people. Now, we had learned the pshat in this whole nevuah is going on in the days of the Messiah. Our sages on the next Pasuk say that the Pasuk is speaking about Chizkiyo. And that shifts our understanding of the story, that when Chizkiyo will be victorious and the people will recognize that Shevna, who was the antagonist and the one who was the antithesis of Chizkiyo is pious. He eats a slight amount of dry bread every day and a small pitcher of water. And even though he is the king of Judea, he's leading a very humble, modest life. And he is being very pious, trying to ensure that people keep the Torah and mitzvot. At the same time, there's a man named Shevna who has tremendous political clout. And the Navi had spoken about Shevna earlier, about 10, 15 chapters ago, the Navi had described how Shevna prepared for himself a burial plot among the kings of David, and Shevna was telling the people, this isn't the king, what's he worth? Look at him, that little thing. And Shevna would sit on a day's meal and eat this huge amount of meat every day, and he was a glutton, and he showed people, this is royalty, look at me. And people bought into it. It says that Shevna had a greater following than Chizkiyo. And when the Assyrian Empire came to lay siege on Jerusalem, Shevna told his people, we're joining the Assyrians. And the people were willing. And Chizkiyo was told by Hashem, he was told by the prophet, you're going to be victorious. And Chizkiyo said, but maybe Hashem will go with the majority. The majority of the people aren't with me. And the Navi tells him, Lo tomerun kesher lechol asher yomar ha'am ezeh kasher. Just because people have banded together doesn't mean you should view them as a grouping. They're choosing to rebel against you. That doesn't mean they count. They think they count. In my book, they don't count. And that's what Chazal tell us, the rule, kesher resha'im eino min haminyan. The grouping of the wicked doesn't count. Even though they think they're big in numbers, they don't count. Their opinion doesn't count. And what ends up happening, we know. The rest is history, as they say. Shevna sets up a time and sets up a place, and when he goes out of the gates, Hashem causes the gates to slam shut behind him, whatever that means. He finds himself standing all alone outside the gates. He had promised the Assyrian king he'd bring a huge contingency with him. And when he shows up, the Assyrian king, he says, I'm sorry, Your Majesty, there was a problem. The gates shut behind me. And the king says, that doesn't hold water. No, I'm sorry. That's what we agreed on. And he tortures him to death. So that's the end of Shevna. So Chizkiyo is living at a time where people have practiced sycophancy, but when Chizkiyo has the great miracle and he is victorious, so then it's pretty clear. You have to be honest. You have to lead the life the way Chizkiyo has been preaching all the time. So the Navi describes v'cheilai keilav ra'im, which we would read as a continuation. We're discussing the swindler, we're discussing the dishonest person. V'cheilai keilav ra'im, the person who is dishonest, even his instruments are not good instruments. Hu's imot ya'atz. He keeps thinking how to trick people. Lechabel aniyim be'im rei sheker. He thinks about how to destroy the poor with his lies. Uvdaber evyon mishpat. And he thinks to himself how through his lies he will be able to overcome the poor when they try to take him to justice. He will find his ways. Our sages say, V'cheilai keilav ra'im is something that Chizkiyahu said about himself. And here we have a long story, which is worth learning. Let's see. We have a transit prophecy. The Talmud in Tractate Brachos brings us part of the story. The continuation of the story is quoted in some versions of the Talmud. It's quoted in a Yemenite Medrash Midrash HaGadon. And the Talmud tells us that Hashem has great plans, and Hashem finds ways to make his plans come to fruition. So the Talmud tells us like this. Who is so wise? Who knows how to work things out like Hashem? That Hashem knows how to make to find the common ground between two tzaddikim. Who are the two tzaddikim? Chizkiyahu and Yeshayahu. Chizkiyahu said, "If I'm supposed to talk to Yeshayahu, let him come to me," because we find Eliyahu went to Ahav. Eliyahu was pious. Ahav was a wicked king, and nonetheless, he respected Ahav because he was king. I'm trying to do what's right. Yeshayahu should come to me. Yeshayahu said Chizkiyahu should come to me, because we find Yehoram, Ahav's son, he went to Elisha. When he needed something, he went to Elisha. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He made Chizkiyahu ill and told Yeshayahu, go visit the sick. He happened to be Chizkiyahu's relative. Now, when we first read these lines in the Talmud, it sounds like this is a fight of egos. It isn't, as we will see as we move on. It was more a question of who should be subservient to whom in the between the prophet and the king. There's a question of who does it seem was right. On the one hand, Chizkiyahu became ill. On the other hand, you see that the way Hashem made an agreement between them was Yeshayahu ultimately goes to Chizkiyahu. So that's what the Navi tells us, that in that time, Chizkiyahu became ill. We're going to read that in a few, we're going to get there in a few weeks. It says, Chizkiyahu became deathly ill. And Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, our prophet, came to him and said, so says Hashem, give your last will because you're going to die and you're not going to live. So the Talmud says, what does it mean you're going to die and you're not going to live? You're going to die in this world and you're not going to live in the world to come. So Chizkiyahu says, "My kuli hai, what's that all about?" He said, "Because you didn't deal in Piria Berivia, you didn't have children." So he said, "Yeah, because I saw in Ruach Hakodesh that I would have children that are not worthy, that are not good." He ended up having a son, Menashe, who was a mass murderer, a pagan. He brought about the destruction of the first temple. Ultimately, Menashe did tshuva. He said, those are the hidden things of Hashem. Why are you getting involved? My You got to do what you were commanded. And what Hashem wants to do, let him do. That's not your problem. So Chizkiyahu says, okay, give me your daughter now, and maybe your merit and my merit, I'll end up having children that are worthy. So he said, it's already been decreed from above. So Chizkiyahu said, son of Amoz, finish your prophecy and get out. This is my tradition from my great-grandfather, King David, that even a sharp sword is placed on a person's neck. He shouldn't stop from asking for mercy. It's never over. There's always room to pray. And King David was on his way down to the sword, right? Goliath's brother tossed him up. He set down a sword, and David was on his way down to die. And he prayed, and he made it out alive. The Gemara over here doesn't tell us too much more about the story. The Gemara just says, even if the dream interpreter told someone he's going to die tomorrow, he should still pray. And then Chizkiyahu turned to the wall and prayed. What does it mean he turned to the wall? Either the walls of his heart or he said, I'm a descendant of he who built so many walls in your honor, the whole temple, Hashem save me. And Hashem accepted his prayer, and he lived for many more years afterwards. Okay, that's what we have in our Talmud. But the Bach brings a continuation to the story, and there's a continuation that's written in the Yemenite Midrashim. It says, Yeshayahu was convinced. He let him marry his daughter. He had two sons. One was named Menashe, one was named Rav Shake. He carried them on his shoulders to take them to learn Torah. So here you see that Chizkiyo is walking in the street with kids on his shoulder. Can you imagine Bibi walking down the streets with kids on his shoulders? You know, if Chizkiyo was arguing a fight that was about his own ego, he wouldn't be walking down the street with kids on his shoulders. The fight was about Torah. And so when it's right for the kids to sit on their father's shoulders, and I say that this Gemara teaches us another thing. Don't think you could send your son in a limousine to school and he'll value school. There's a reason why Chizkiyo did not send the kids with the servant. He personally took them, and he took them on his shoulders, because a kid has only one Abba's shoulders he could ride on. It's not the same riding on anyone else's shoulders. He takes them on his shoulders to yeshiva. So they have a conversation. I guess he had a bald spot, because they looked down at their father's head and they said, Dad's head is good to roast Gildani on. And the other one, I don't know what Gildani are. And the other one said, Dad's head, that bald spot, is great to use to sacrifice for an idol. So he said, this is what you guys are talking about when you're sitting on my head? When you're sitting on my shoulder? He threw them both down. He threw them both down. And when they hit the ground, Rav Shake died. And Menashe lived. And Chizkiyo said about himself this pasuk, V'chilei kelav ra'im. His vessels are evil vessels. V'chilei kelav ra'im. So we just read the pasuk, V'chilei kelav ra'im. And my vessels are evil vessels. So first of all, how do you call your kids vessels? So perhaps the idea was that when a child is a youngster, we say he's like a vessel. He's supposed to be filled with Torah. But my vessels are bad vessels, he says. What am I supposed to fill them with? These kids are on my shoulders riding to go to yeshiva, and they're talking on my head is ripe for serving an idol. But the fact that Chazal quote this pasuk about Chizkiyahu deserves much thought. Like, how does that fit into the whole parsha as we began our class today? What's really going on here? Okay, yes.